Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is interesting that the 16th verse in the first chapter of James is not included in our reading. It precedes the reading that we just heard. Listen to this short admonition. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Now, this is not the first time that James had used the word brethren, adelphoi. No, writing in early Jerusalem church history, he had used it several times. And the epistle of James is most likely written to the pastors, to the apostles in that very early church, and therefore by extension to you and to me, who either are pastors or who desire to be pastors. So what is it that James and the Lord want us to not be deceived about? Well, clearly the reading says that we are to be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, and that we are to lay aside all filthiness. In other words, we should not be deceived by our sinful nature, especially as seminarians and professors, to somehow think that we are holier than others. No, the truth is too often that we ourselves don't listen to our spouses, to our colleagues, to our children, to those in authority over us, but just jump in with that great wisdom that flows from our mouths. Spare us from that, O Lord, in the pastoral office. And think how often anger wells up within us, even if it doesn't flow from our mouths. That professor, what kind of a test was that? That ridiculous, stupid student, how can he ask such dumb questions? That director of vicarage, how could he send me and my family to Zap, North Dakota? And just in case we are not deceived about our sinful nature in regard to listening, speaking, and anger, God also commands us to lay aside all filthiness, no lustful thoughts, no impure desires, no eyes upon the forbidden fruit. But if we think that this is what this text is about, is simply being deceived about our sinful nature, no, we have missed this. The Lord says, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren, but then goes on to say that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of life. You see, the true deception is that we think that these good gifts and perfect gifts from God are first article gifts, gifts of our Father's heavenly creation. Certainly the Lord does give us first article gifts. From the words of Luther, all that I need to support this body and life. Certainly we give him thanks for body, soul, eyes, ears, and all of our members. And we give him thanks for our families and for our material blessings, for this seminary and the like. But let us not be deceived, for the one truly good and perfect gift is Christ himself. Only Christ's intentional, willing obedience to his Father's commands can we really call good. Only Christ's perfect walk to the cross of Calvary, bearing all of our sins for us, can we call perfect. All other gifts pale, even though they're wonderful, in comparison to the blessed, wonderful, beautiful gift of our salvation that has been wrought in Jesus Christ. Perhaps that's why, in the liturgy of the Orthodox Church, this verse, every good gift and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, is used in their divine liturgy in a prayer before an icon of Christ. We must also, though, not be deceived about how we become the beneficiaries of all of this atoning work of our Lord and Savior. James reminds us in our text that of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Brought forth by the word of Christ, that's you and me. Brought forth by the word of Christ in holy baptism. We become first fruits. First fruits in the Old Testament were consecrated and dedicated for service to the Lord. In baptism, we are brought forth from the darkness of sin into the light of the membership in the body of Christ, so that we now may be first fruits of all the Lord's creation in this world, demonstrating in our lives what the renewal of this whole creation will look like. You see, we simply don't become beneficiaries of Christ's atoning work by doing anything ourselves, but instead by receiving this good and perfect gift, by being reborn by this word of truth. If deception is possible concerning sin, concerning the identity of this good and perfect gift, and if deception is possible concerning how we take hold of that gift, it is certainly also possible that we can be deceived as to who we really are. Because you see, as the baptized, capital T, capital B, you and I have a new identity. We are in Christ. That's why James in our text reminds us to receive with meekness the implanted word. In other words, to draw upon that identity of whom you and I are, sons and daughters of Jesus Christ. We remember with meekness that implanted word as we confess our sins. We remember with meekness that implanted word as we go and partake of the body and blood of our Lord. We remember with meekness that implanted word as we be the Christians that he would have us be in this falling world. You see, the Lord makes us the first fruits of his creation. So do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Instead, rejoice, for indeed Christ, the good and perfect gift, is for you. Christ, the word of truth, is for you. And Christ, the implanted word, has been placed within you at your baptism. Rejoice and be glad. In Jesus' name, amen.